Now, in the last part of our program today, we meet a Canadian human rights activist who's keeping a close eye on China in this edition of One on One. Where do the organs come from for all the transplants in China? The allegation of organ harvesting from Falun Gong practitioners provides an answer. That's a quote from a report from Canadian human rights activist David Kilgore. Mr. Kilgore, a former Member of Parliament, who also served as Canada's Secretary of State for the Asia-Pacific region, was recently in Prague, lobbying for support in the fight against illegal organ harvesting in China. Andrea Fajkusova, our colleague from Radio Prague's Spanish section, met up with him during his visit. She first asked David Kilgore what he thought of the Olympic Watch Group. It was established in Prague in 2001 with the aim of monitoring the human rights situation in China in the run-up to the 2008 Olympic Games.
I can congratulate you on having an Olympic Watch. I refer to it a lot, I try to get. There's sort of an informal network now that we're trying to partner with groups like the Darfur. So I'm hoping we can form bridges with other groups like the Darfur community or the Burma community or the number of groups that are concerned about what's going on. There was an article in the paper I saw on Google that I'm sure you could find it, saying that human rights are getting worse in China as we get closer to the Olympics. And asking, well, the government of China said that it would improve human rights if it got the games. But instead, they're getting worse. They're locking up more people. They're doing this to Falun Gong. And what kind of a Olympic movement would sanction this kind of behavior? We're pushing. Frankly, we've almost given up on the International Olympic Committee. We think they're completely spineless about this matter, but we're pushing the National Olympic Committees in the 70 countries where they exist to push this issue as the National Olympic Committees. I can certainly say I urge the government of this democratic country to continue to encourage other governments of perhaps countries that have not been through the totalitarian system you went through to take a stronger stand on this.
Commercial interests play an important role.
But if, for example, X corporation sponsors an event at the Olympics and they suddenly find that people are boycotting their products, a beer company or a car manufacturer, or won't buy, I'm not, for example, I would not buy a product from any company that sponsors an event at these Olympics. I don't know how many people agree with me on that, but there may be a lot. Now, whether it's over Falun Gong treatment, persecution, or whether it's over Darfur, or whether it's over the terrible things that the government of China is doing in Burma, or in Zimbabwe, or in North Korea, if enough of us see X corporation sponsoring an event and we say, that's it, I'm never going to buy another product from that company, I find they'll move pretty quickly.
The 1st of May, a new law came into force in China concerning organ transplants. What will this law change?
I hope it changes everything, but the trouble is the doctors, the military, the hospitals are making hundreds of millions of dollars by selling organs. So does anyone think that this new law is going to be enforced? So many laws in China are not enforced, and they're simply passed for public relations reasons. There's no doubt the army brags about getting a lot of financing of profits from organ harvesting on one of their websites. I'd be very surprised if the law means anything. This is a quote from their website. This is the Organ Transplant Center of the Armed Forces General Hospital in Beijing. The website says, "The Organ Transport Center is our main department for making money. Its gross income in 2003 was 16 million won. That's, I guess, about $3 million. And so they go on to brag about how they're making money. So the short answer to your question is that I think this was announced because of the Olympic Games, and I would be very surprised if the practice stopped. We'll know if it stops because we have good information. We'll know whether this practice stops. And I doubt very much if this law is going to make much difference.
And who are the clients of this organ market?
Yeah, that's a really tough question. David Matus, my co-author, went to a country in Asia. I better not name it. But they told him that about 5,000 people a year go to China for organs from one country. These are obviously wealthy people who can pay the prices. In Canada, for example, we've made inquiries with our medical people, and we've discovered that about from three hospitals alone in Canada, one in Vancouver, one in Calgary, one in Toronto, about 100 people from Canada have gone for organs over the last few years. It's rising, too. They tend to come from countries like Japan and Korea and Taiwan, but there's no doubt people are coming from the U.S. and Canada, and I can't tell you whether... I've never heard anybody say that somebody from the Czech Republic was there.
Can we find out if some product is made or was made in a labor camp in
China?
Yes,
that's a question that we've been asked actually here in the Czech Republic, and Ming and I are going to attempt to come up with a list of products. What happens is that, I gather, I've looked into this, is that X company, Y company, asks a subcontractor in China to get them, say, promotional products for Christmas. Then the subcontractor goes to the work camp, and they get the products, and they come along as a subcontractor, and the company in the West doesn't know, it says, that where these products come from. But that's why we've got to get a list, as you've just said, of these products, so that hopefully this will stop happening. But China has been producing these products for a long time in these forced labor camps. I can give you an anecdote of a company called Dynasty Wine. And a couple of years ago, I was at a friend's place for dinner, and somebody from the Chinese embassy brought a bottle of Dynasty Wine. Well, allegedly, this is a product that's made with forced labor in these labor camps. So in the West, when are we going to wake up and realize that the kinds of things that you heard from Ming are going on in these camps?
Well, the last question is about Cuba.
I was not allowed to go to Cuba when I was Secretary of State for Latin America because their human rights were so bad that our government decided that we would not let anybody go to representing the government of Canada. Your guess is as good as mine as to when Mr. Castro will die. But a lot of people in my own country, it's a lot, go there for vacations, and I don't think they see any of this side of Cuba. I know that the governments of the Czech Republic have shown a lot of courage and a lot of leadership in fighting for human rights in Cuba, and I think you should be, your governments should be congratulated for standing up for human rights there. The point about human rights, as you know, is that you've got to stand up for human rights wherever they're being abused, whether it's in Guantanamo Bay or whether it's in Cuba or wherever it is, because otherwise you're just seen as doing it for political reasons. So whether it's, you know, it's on the left, the government's on the left or the right or the center, wherever human rights are being abused, people have to stand up for them. And I'm sure that this is the view of the people of the Czech Republic.